Brisa on Tes Amiral listed off all the dinim that are shared in common between a Getish and a Tashich Rebbe Knaini. The Gemara says to the exclusion of the following din, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that there's a difference between a Getish and a Tashich Rebbe Knaini. And a Getish, because we have a concern, Mishum Migun Akila Be'Rabbanan, so we're afraid, let's say, the husband wants to divorce his wife and she's chalashing to receive the get, and he doesn't have anybody who knows how to read Hebrew, and the only two Edim who are there don't know how to read. Let's say there are other people there, but they're relatives, so they can't serve as Edim. So would we permit a person to sign on a shtar if he doesn't know how to read Hebrew? He doesn't know what he's signing. So in all other shtaris, including a shtar Sheikh Rabbi Knaini, we would not permit it. Mishum Igun Akila Berabon, a special kula by Getisha that we do allow it. If it's good by Getisha, so what it means is Mikra Adin, it should really be good by all the other stores also, Minat Torah. But with the Rabbana, we don't permit it. So Tosis points out that the Gemara later, Yutesam and Beis, says like that all other stores, it's no good with the Rabbana. All other stores, no good with the Rabbana. Only by Getisha. But Rab Nachman used to have one of the Safrei Dedayin read to him what it said in the shtar, and he would sign based on what the Safrei Dedayin told him. What kind of a shtar exactly was it that Rab Nachman was signing? So the Gemara doesn't say what kind of a shtar. Any kind of a shtar. Shtar halva, whatever it was. So the Ravid, when the Rambam quotes this thing, the Ravid is masking on the Rambam. The Rambam is innocent. He just says, whatever kind of a shtar it happens to be. So the Ravid says it only applies to a shtar Maisa Bezin. If it's a shtar halva or a get we make all okay. If it's a shtar halva or any other shtar mechira, we would not be mekel. Rav Nachman is only mekel by safra. Only the Gemara is only on Yud Tes and Beis. Only safra the dina. And Rav Nachman, because they're afraid of him, these behu emesa, they're afraid to fool around with Rav Nachman. He's going to catch them that they read something inaccurately to him. He's going to fire them. He's going to chop their head off, because Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. So he had a big say in the government, and they're going to lose their job if they fool around with him. So the Rambam quotes that Gemara that's an exception to the rule. There's one exception to the rule is by Getisha we make on Mishum Gana Kila Berabbanan. The other exception to the rule is if you have a very strong woman like Rav Nachman with the Safra Dedayin, and the Ravid limits it further that it's only Rav Nachman because he was signing a shtar ma'aseh bezin. So that's problematic. Manishtana shtar ma'aseh bezin from any other shtar. Shtar ma'aseh bezin is also a shtar. There's a difference. A shtar ma'aseh bezin doesn't have to be written in Midas HaMizchai. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed. A ma'aseh bezin doesn't require Das HaMizchai, because we say Hefker bezin Hefker. Let's say to be mafke my moment. So you need, I should be mafke my moment. You ate on a mafke dovashenu shalom. You can't be mafke my moment, but Bezin does have the ability to be mafke my moment. Why? That's the halacha you learn from Pesukim, hefke Bezin hefke. So whenever you need dasa adam, so the Bezin can substitute for the dasa adam. Not only can I be mafke my property, the Bezin can be mafke my property. So we say, not only can I authorize the Adam to sign a shtar, not only is that called Das HaMizchai, but Bezin authorizes the signing of a shtar. It's also considered Das HaMizchai based on the principle of Hefke, Bezin, Hefke. Fine. But bottom line, it turns out that it's the same shtar as any other shtar. So Manashtana derive it. That's why I saw the Makevus HaMishnah says he doesn't understand why the Raivit distinguished the Hilchos Malva V'Loiva. Why the Raivit thinks that din in the Gemara, that Rav Nachman was an exception to the rule, so it only applied to a shtar ma'aseh bezin. Okay, this is the right of Perek Chof Dalet Halacha Zayin. The Rambam quotes the Gemara. It doesn't distinguish what kind of a shtar it is. The Ravid says only shtar ma'aseh bezin. Ad kam l'shom. Why? Why should it be different a shtar ma'aseh bezin? It's a very strange Ravid. Do we have any other exceptions to the rule? So here the Hagos HaShri on the side of the Rosh on page Tzadik Vav, Omer Aleph, on the first column, that's on Daf Yud Tes on the base, that's where the Gemara tells the story about Rav Nachman. That Rav Nachman would sign, even though he it was hard for him, he probably was getting old. He wasn't able to read. So the Gemara says, one of the other Amoraim strained himself and he strained his eyes. He would read every word of the shtar before he would sign it. Rabbi Yehuda mitztayer kori v'chosim. Rabbi Yehuda, when he was hard of seeing, he would painstakingly read every word in the shtar, and then he would sign. He wouldn't sign before he read every word. And Rabbi Nachman, because he had this deal with the Safed Adina, so they were afraid of him, pachad moves, so they wouldn't fool around, so he would sign. So do we have, so on that Gemara, Yutes on the base, so the, in the Hagos Ashri, they quote, as well as in the Mordechai on page base, Amud Aleph, also the first column, there's a Mordechai and there's a long Hagos and a Mordechai on the side. So they quote that there was such a practice by Ksuba, that the Edom, they would permit Edom to sign Ksuba, even though the Edom don't know how to read the Hebrew, or even if they know how to read, it'll take them a long time to look and read what it says in Ksuba. So they were makel to allow Edom to Eidig Marsh's on Mishumigun and Kilibir Abonis only Akula and Getisha doesn't apply to Shtashikh Rabbi Knaini. Certainly doesn't apply to other stories. The Gemara says the other stories we pass on Midir Abonim. Minatur, it's kosher by all stories, but Midir Abonim we pass on other stories. So here they say this is the same as Rab Nachman. Why? Because they under the chuppah, the minig is that you have somebody read the ksuba. And they wouldn't just have one rabbi fill out the ksuba, they would have all the Rashi HaKohol, all the rabbis. Everybody would take a look at the ksuba to make sure that it has all the names and the date and the place. Everything is written correctly. Today, that's not always the practice. Today, have one rabbi fills out the ksuba, and very often no one else is watching. So sometimes he makes a mistake. Sometimes the rabbi question makes a mistake. But this was the practice that the Bali HaTesis had. That they allowed Edom to sign a ksuba, even though the Edom didn't read the ksuba, because it was the equivalent of the case of Rav Nachman. Why was it equivalent? Because they had all the Rosh HaKohol would read the ksuba. Yeah, but the shaila is that they point out here, the practice would be they would sign the ksuba before the chuppah. And under the chuppah, someone would read the ksuba, and all the other Rosh HaKohol would be looking in to make sure that he's reading the ksuba correctly. So what good is it? They sign the ksuba before they read it. So the Rishonim say that's okay. The Hagos HaRosh in the Mordechai, the Hagos HaRosh quotes from the Mordechai, they say that that's acceptable. Because since we know that they're not going to give over the ksuba to the Kala until after they read it under the chuppah, and read it under the chuppah, they're going to have all the Rosh HaKohol watching when they're reading it. Because everyone's gonna chap the mistake. Everyone's gonna see if the ksuba doesn't say what it's supposed to say, so they're gonna rip it up. They're not gonna give it to the kala. So that was apparently a practice in the days of Hashem. I don't know. Bizman is, a lot of times you have one rabbi fills out the ksuba, he reads the ksuba, no one else sees what it says in the ksuba. So there is no in the ksuba.
Based on that, had someone who's blind also sign?
Yeah.
But
why,
so if we don't rely on Nachman,
right? The Gemara says only Rav Nachman, because that was a rare case, because he was very powerful, and the Safra the Dina were afraid of him. Yeah, in most cases he would not allow it. Yeah.
What about the fact that nowadays even if people do read it, they don't know what they're reading?
That's no good. They have to understand. If they don't know what they're reading, so it could be a get. It could be a shtar mechir. Because it says that it's a tzul, because it says on top, tzuba. A lot of times it doesn't say on top, tzuba. So and even if it does say, who says that it's a tzuba?
So they understand a couple of words here and there, and hints towards the fact that it's probably a tzuba.
It's not right. You should really have Edom who know what they're reading. They understand what it says. The chasm doesn't have to know what it says in a tzuba. You just tell him. Would you like us to fill out a regular standard form of a ksuba? He says, yeah, sure. So everybody gets the same standard form of a ksuba. They're all the same thing. They all say the same thing. But the Edom have to make sure that that's what it says in the ksuba. The chasm doesn't have to read the ksuba. He doesn't have to know what he's getting himself into. He just says he's masking to whatever it says in the ksuba, to the normal text of the ksuba. We mentioned when we learned this Gemara, the Pashup Shat in this Gemara in Yoram and Aleph is the way Rashi reads the Gemara. The Gemara raised the question on Testament base, why does the Bryce only list off these three dinim? Why doesn't it mention Mechuba? Why doesn't it mention Lishma? The Gemara finally comes to the answer, Elo, on the second line from the top of Yoram and Aleph. Milsa Disa Bikidushin like Tani. Milsa Lesa Bikidushin Tani. We're drawing a contrast. We're saying that there are three shtoris that really should be identical. The Getisha with the Shtar Shechar Avik Nani with the Shtar Kiddushin. And two of them share in common these three dinim. And the third one doesn't have that din. So this din of Lishma with Mechuba, this applies to Shtar Kiddushin as well. So that's what all Achranim ask. It's a Pela on the Ramo. How come the Ramo quotes V'yesh Omrim? That there is an opinion that a shtar kedushin is kosher and mechuba lakark isn't beferish against the gemara. So the osam echas a merit dik and charif is dik and pilpul over here, which was above my head. And again, hilchas gerushin. He has a whole charif is why the Ramo is right, why there's room to dray out of this raya from the gemara. I thought that the little that I understood, it seemed very charif is dik to me. It didn't seem to be poshipshat. Poshipshat in the gemara is the way the way Rashi said. That you see from this Gemara that mechuber that the mechuber is possible by a shtar kiddushin. The only thing that's left unclear is not explicit is the Rashbo on the first daf in kiddushin quotes a machlek is the baluita and other rishonim. What if a man is mekadosh b'kesef? So you can be mekadosh b'shav b'kesef also. What if our meaning is when mekadosh b'tabas shav b'kesef? What if he's mekadosh b'karka, which is shav pruta? Is that good for kiddushin or not? You say that a shtar kiddushin b'mechuba l'karka is possible. Does that only apply to shtar? Because makash havai litziya maybe only goes on shtar kiddushin. Or do you say no? Makash havai litziya even goes on kesef kiddushin. The kesef kiddushin b'mechuba would also be no good. So the Rashbo has a whole pilpul. There is a tosefta that talks about a man is mekadosh and isha b'yisuri hano. So the Mishnah says eini mekudeshes. Mishnah in the end of the second parak in kiddushin says it's not considered Shavakut. So Tosefta gives an example of Yisrael HaNoah. A man has a home in an Irani Dachas, and the Bez Nagorl declared that the Irani Dachas has to be burnt down. So everything is Asab HaNoah, so nothing is Shavakut. So it says there in the Tosefta that if you Mekadosh, the Irani Dachas is Zainim Kodesh. It sounds like if you Mekadosh in a house from a different city, not in Irani Dachas, it would be Mekadosh. Only the house in Irani Dachas is not Shavakut, it's because it's Unmid L'Sreifah. Going to be burned down. So doesn't it seem explicit from the Tosefta that you can be Mekadosh B'karka? So the Rashba says how you can dray out of that raya. Maybe it's not a raya machracha. So that's two opinions. What are those two ashitas? What's that machloikah? So you look in Beishmuel in Ebenezer in Hilchas Kiddushei Kesef, he has a machloikah, so achreinim, and l'chore that comes out, this is the machloikah sarishan, machloikah achreinim. There is a din later by Get Isha. If the husband puts the get on the table and he tells his wife, Kli gitach magabi karka. So Rava says that that's not acceptable. Because it says, Venosam biyoda, to the exclusion of Kli gitach magabi karka. That's over here. Ayin chesam et aleph. It's earlier too. But Ayin chesam et aleph, right after the Mishnah, right after the first Mishnah, the two Mishnahs. Second line after the first Mishnah, Amar Rava, Kli gitach magabi karka lo yamaklum. Why? Because you're lacking the sina. So what's the din if a man puts a ring on the table, and he tells the girl, Hare Mekodesh is Liga Tabazu, and she picks it up. Is that also no good? Because the din requires an asina by Kesef, but he say no. The din only requires an asina by a get Isha, and by Shtar Kiddushin, because you learn out Makish Havai Litziya. But you don't require an asina by Kesef Kiddushin. Kesef Kiddushin, Kli Kiddushin, Magabi Karka would be good. So the Rashba says on the Sugi of Mechuber, on the Afyu Tes, on the Afchof, that the reason why a get mechuber is possible, a lot of Rishonim say the reason why it's possible is because it says v'nosam biyoda, and the term nesina doesn't apply to karka. They bothered with the kasha that by me'oras ha-machpelah it says, they're going to speak to Ephraim, yitan l'chos me'oras ha-machpelah shelo. So it says the verb nesina even in connection with the me'oras ha-machpelah, which was mechuber l'karka. So how can the Rishonim, that's what the Orsamech works on that kasha. How can the Rishonim say that a get when mechuba is possible because you require nesina, and the word nesina implies metaltalim. You can't do a ma'aseh nesina on karka. The Chumash talks about v'yitin li is maros hamachpelah shelo. It says v'yitin li, and it says a few times the verb nesina. Asod nasati loch, v'ha maros shabal lochon nesatiha. They keep on using the word nesina, the verb nesina. So it's a good kasha. There are some ech works on that kasha. So the pashtus is that this shaila whether taliki dushach ma'agabi karka is possible by kesef or not, that's exactly the shaila. That's the machlokes harishonim. Whether kesef, if you're mekadosh an isha, the kesef that's mechubel karka, is it good or not? Because the reason why mechubel karka is no good by get is because it lacks nesina, because taligitach ma'agabi karka is no good.
Because
so if Ephraim was a Nachri and Avram was a Jew, so the only kenyan between Israeli and the goy that works is only a shtar. Kesef would not work. That's why over there the Gemara says fakir. The Gemara Bava Basra says just the reverse. The only kenyan if a Nachri is selling a karka to the Israel, the only kenyan that works is kesef. Gemara says shtar doesn't work. No, that's the Chumash says that kesef works. That's the kenyan that works is kesef. If you have an otzitz, that's the otzitz nakuv, that's dina kekarka. So the Gemara says mashicha wouldn't work. Only chazaka would work. And if you have an otzitz sheino nakuv and it's dino kitalush, then only mashicha works and chazaka doesn't work. The exact same otzitz. And it's physically possible, equally possible to do either chazaka or to do mashicha or hagbah. So the Gemara says later in the second parak in the sugya of otzitz, the Gemara says on the one that's dina kikarka only chazaka works and hagbah doesn't work, and the one that's dina kimetaltalim only hagbah works and chazaka doesn't work. That's what the Pnei Yeshua. The Nesivis quotes this suggestion in the Pnei Yeshua that you see from that Gemara that kinyoni karka don't work on metaltalim and kinyoni metaltalim don't work on karka. Kach nemer halacha. That chazaka is a kinyon karka doesn't work on metaltalim. There's a Piskei HaTosis in the beginning of the second parak of Bechoris, what Tosis says, where the Piskei HaTosis quotes a psak, we're missing the Tosis. Well, we have it in the Piskei HaTosis. So it says there that the metaltalim can be nicknamed by chazokim whenever it's possible to do a chazok on metaltalim. So the Minchas Chinuch says that with all due respect, it's against this Beferish Gemara. This Gemara in the second parak distinguished between an otzitz nokum and an otzitz shein nokum, that the one that's dina kikarka is only nikna b'chazok, and the one that's dinik him metaltum is only nikna b'hagbah, and the Pnei Yeshua points out this yisoid. You see from the Gemara, kinyani karka don't work on metaltum. Kinyani metaltum don't work on karka. The only kinyan that works on karka and metaltum is kinyan chalipa, because apparently it's not neither a kinyan karka nor a kinyan metaltum. It's a different kind of a kinyan. It was never formulated melechatchila either as a kinyan karka or as a kinyan metaltum. And the pasuk in Megillah Asura says, l'kayim kol dover, works on anything and everything. That's an exception to the rule. We spoke about shtar. Maybe shtar is also like chalipin, because we had a tosis in the end of Ksubis. But tosis points out that shtar is good to be koni metalpon. If I write, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000, and I give you the shtar. So shtar is koni. So machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokish and Ksubis Dav Kubesim and Aleph, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever there's machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokish, Ruba de Ruba, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. So we pass from the shtar can be koine his chayvus. The Tosis is bothered with Akasha that whenever there's a din, ein shvoi mala karkoes, there's only shvua metalpon, no shvua on karkoes. So we say there is a shvua when there's a sichzuch about an amount of money. I say you owe me $1,000, you're moided that you owe me $500, and you're kaifer the remaining $500. So that's a regular case of moided b'miktsas, he swear a shvua deraisa. The din is ain't by malakarkoa. So the answer: this is not karka. This is like dinik metalpon. It's neither karka nor metalpon. It's not a tangible object. It's an amount of money. So you see, from the halacha, amount of money is dino kimetalpon. It's not dinik karka. So Tosis is bothered with akasha. If it's schum mam and an abstract amount of money is dino kimetalpon, so how can you be kind of metalpon b'shtar? The halacha says that the shtar is only kind of karka. It's not kind of metalpon. So Tosis answers there. Tosis has a one-line answer that the Nesivis quotes in Choshen Mishpat. The Tosis says that the nature of kinyan shtar is different from all other kinyanim. Basically, what Tosis says in effect is that shtar works on karka and on metaltalim. The only reason why normally, ruba de ruba, 99% of the time it doesn't work on metaltalim. So the Gemara's lashon is that metaltalim le'lab b'nei mevet shtar ninu. Not that shtar doesn't work. Basically, shtar should work on metaltalim. But there's no way to describe the metaltalim. What I'm going to say, I'm makna to you my Gemara. How am I going to describe my Gemara? All the Gemaras are the same. Karka, you can describe a latitude and a longitude, you give an address. The metaltalim can't be described. So that's why metatlam is not nikna mishtar. But basically, shtar, Tosin said, a shtar should really work both on karka and on metatlam. We spoke a little bit about the machlekes Reb Meir and the Chachamim on there, quoted on Daf Tesam Beis. The Gemara quotes it from the Mishnah on Yudalef on the Beis. We have a principle of Zochen Liyodim Shaloi Bifanov. So if a man writes a get and he gives it to someone to be Zoich on behalf of his wife, we assume that Choyv Leisha. So you don't apply Zochen Liyodim Shaloi Bifanov. But if a man wants to free his Evik Naini, so that's a machlekes Reb Meir and the Chachamim. So Reb Meir is not so convinced that it's a schus. And we pass him like the Chacham, that we assume that it is a schus. So Tosfos on that Mishnah raises a question. The Yerushalmi boy, Tosfos de Ramascha Begite Nasha. So the Yerushalmi raises a question, what if the woman, Haga Atzmacha, what if the woman is dying to get a get ready from the husband? She's suffering so many years from this miserable husband, she's chalashing to get a get. And finally, the day that he's in a good mood and he agrees to give a get, she's not there. So can he write the get and give it to someone else to be zeich on behalf of the wife? So Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, it sounds like no. It sounds like we declare, and then Yerushalmi asks also, what are you going to say? You're going to free the Evik Naini. What if the Adon of the Evik Naini is a multimillionaire, and the Evik Naini lives in luxury when he belongs to the Adon, and he's eating ice cream every day and steaks and everything, and it's very comfortable there by this extremely wealthy Balbas. Now he's going to free the Evik Naini, he's going to be on his own, he's going to have to get a job, work for a living. He was better off staying as an Evik Naini by this wealthy Yodan, Haga Atzmacha. What if he was an Evik Naini Shel Kotzin? Isn't it a Chayva to the Evid? Or what if the woman was married to a Mukashchin? Isn't it a Schus for the woman? So we would have normally said yes. If you know that the woman is Chalashing to get a get, so then not every case. We don't declare arbitrarily every single case of a get is a Chayva, and every single case of a Shtar Shichur is a Schus. We say usually, most of the time. Sometimes the get will be a schus, and sometimes the shtar shich will be a chayva. And that's what we had. The Ran quoted that Gemara in the end of Yevamos. Here we had on that Mishnah on Yudalef on the Bay, so Rashi and the Rif both made a comment. The Rif is on page Hey Amid Aleph, the fifth line from the top, after the two dots. V'hani mili lachazar. The Rif says, when it says in the Mishnah that you can apply Zachar Liyodim Shal Yerufanah to Bimshach the Evik Naini, all it means is that once the Yodim gives the Shashichra to the third party, the Yodim cannot back out. But it's not that it's Zachin all the way that the Evid is already Yotze Lecheris. No, that's contradicted by a Mishnah later. That the Mishnah says, Ten gets the Avdi, Umeis lo yitnu lachamisa. What's the problem? Lo yitnu lachamisa. I gave it to this person. Why don't you say Zachal Amish Labifano? The Eber should be Yotze Lecheris already. So the Riv and Rashi called him Chazara. Rashi later on backed out. But originally Rashi said the same as the Riv. Tosfos quoted the Rashi. So they said that it's only Zachin Lachatsoin. It's only Zachin with respect to the fact that the Yodin cannot back out, but the Eber is not yet Yotze Lecheris until he actually will give him the get. So the Ran quotes all those that disagree with the Rif. It's a very difficult Rif. The Rif proves his point that sometimes you have Zochin Lachatzayin. He quotes a Gemara later. But the Gemara says, let's say if I owe money, the Loiva owes money to the Malva, and the Loiva just won a lottery ticket, whatever, so he has $1 million in cash, and he says, oh, I owe $100,000 to Ruvain, here's $100,000, gives it to someone else to be Zochin on behalf of the other person. So the Gemara says, we say, Zochen Liyodim Shalei Bifanov, so the Loiva cannot back out and say, give me back the money, I want to gamble it away. I want to waste all the money. You say, Zochen Liyodim Shalei Bifanov, they're going to hold it on behalf of the Malva. The Loiva cannot say, I want it back. However, what happens if the middleman loses the money? So you say, the money is Parua, the Choyv is Parua, and if he loses the money, the Loiva doesn't have to pay again. So the Gemara says, no, the Achrayas is on the Loiva. It's Zochen Liyodim Shalei Bifanov Lachatzoin. It's a schia that the loiva cannot back out and ask for the middleman to give him back the money. But it's not a schia with respect to this that the malva should lose out in the event that the middleman loses the money. So the Rif said, just like over there, you see that there's Zochen Lachatzoin. So it's over here by the Shtar Shichur. Now you can say Zochen Lachatzoin. If I give the Shtar Shichur to someone else, I cannot back out. But the Eved is not mishtaker until the get is mishtashich is magiliyot. So the Ran and all the Rishonim, Tosfos disagreed, but the Rashi and Tosfos says Rashi biatzma chazabo, Rashi backed out, and the Ran quoted all the kashas. So one of the many kashas that they asked, the Ran on page Hey Amin Allah quoted from the end of Yivamos Daf Kuf Yud Ches on the base towards the very end. The Gemara has a suffix, Hamazake get lishta b'makam yavam mahu. A man is about to die and he loves his wife and he has no children and he has a brother, so his wife is going to be needing chalitza and it's going to be a nuisance. Chalitza is the hamitzvah, so why is it a nuisance? No, the brother lives machakim, the brother lives the other side of the world. It's going to cost a fortune until they're going to travel, if they'll ever get to see each other, the yavamah with the yavam, that they should perform the chalitza. So the man is about to die, wants to do his wife a taiva. So he writes a get, and the wife is not here. So he can't give the get to the wife directly. So he gives it to a third party to be zecha on behalf of the wife. So the Mishnah says on Yud Aleph and Beis, normally a get isha is a choiv. So the Gemara has a suffix. What about in such a situation? Maybe I'm a zaka get the ishta, but makam yovam. Maybe in this case it's a schus. So the Gemara remains it's a bay, an ibaya de leib shita. What's the ibaya de leib shita? Maybe she would be happy to marry the yovam. Maybe she wants to have yipam. Who says that she doesn't want to have, maybe she would want to have Yibum. Bizman is that we don't permit Yibum. The Gemara says, Bizman is that we don't allow Yibum. So Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rivash, then the whole tzad to say that it may be as chus is, who says that she wants to do Chalitza, maybe she'll want Yibum, but Bizman is that we don't allow Yibum. So the only issue is the Chalitza. So, and if it's going to be a hardship getting the Chalitza, so it certainly is more room to say that Bizman is there, for sure it should be as chus. So you see from that Babli, that's what the quote in Shulchan Aruch, see from the Babli, that the Mishnah in Yud Aleph Amud Beis that declares that a get isha is always a chayv to the isha, and you can't apply zachon al shalifan. It's not an ironclad rule that applies in every single case. 99% of the cases, we assume that it's a chayv ul isha. Once in a rare while, it'll be considered a schus for the isha. So that's a shaila. Does the Yerushalmi agree or disagree? Tosfos on Yud Aleph Amud Beis quoted the Yerushalmi. What if the woman is married to this sick man? What if the woman is chalishing to get divorced? Would you say in such a case that it's a schus for the woman? Or what if the Eved is the Eved of a multimillionaire and he's living in luxury? And if you're going to free the Eved, he's going to suffer. He's going to have to make a living like a normal person. So is that considered a schus or not? So the Yishami sounds like it answers. We established that every get is a chay for the woman. It's like a loyplug. A get is always a chay, and a shtashichur is always a schus. We don't look at the details of the situation. So that's what in Shulchan Aruch they present this as if it seems to be a machlek is the Babli in Yerushalmi. The Babli in the end of Yivamos Kuf Yud Ches on the base writes beferish that sometimes a get is a schus and al pi pashtu sometimes a shtashich will be a chayva. You can't declare that it's always so. And Yerushalmi sounds as if they said that it's a rule, it's always so. What do you do when you have a conflict between the Babli and Yerushalmi? So the Rif writes in the end of Erevin that the rule usually is that we follow the Babli against the Yerushalmi, because the Babli was, the Rif gives you the reason why. He says the Babli was written by later Amoraim. Rabin Rabashi were the ones who edited the Talmud Babli. The Yerushalmi was completed by the students of Rabbi Yechanan a few generations earlier. So the Rif assumes that historically the Chachmei HaBabli were aware of everything that appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and if they came to the conclusion Faker, so you say Hilchus HaKabasroi. We pass on like the later chacham. So this is a historical question: whether this is so or not. Is it really true that the Chachmei HaBabli knew everything? They were aware of everything that it says in Yerushalmi. The books were written on this to try to prove yes or no, or maybe did the Chachmei HaBabli really know everything that it says in Yerushalmi? You see, the Rambam very often passes like Yerushalmi is against Bablis. That's what the Bi'ur HaGro writes: Kedarka Lifsik V'Kama Kaimis Kedasa Yerushalmi Neged HaBabli. So even Shulchan Aruch Halacha Lamaisa, the Ramon, the end of Siman Aleph, and Eben Ezra writes that it was a common practice that a husband would write some. In rare cases, a husband would write a get for his wife. They would give the get to a third party to be zeicha zochin liyadam shleib b'fana for the wife. But the Mishnah says that a get is always a chayva. So the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case: his wife took off with a guy. She ran away from the husband. She's living with a non-Jewish man. So every time she sleeps with the guy, she's in violation of Lysinov, and he's a Kares, and he's a Misa. So if the husband is going to give his wife, and she's Asur Labaila anyway, if she decides she wants to come back to the husband, he can't have her back anyway. Asait Asur Labaila, even Zinsa with a guy. So it's Asur Labaila. So she has everything to gain and nothing to lose by getting the get. And it's Latoivasa. And now she won't be in violation of an Isa Kares. Not that she cares too much if she's running around with a non-Jew, but just in case. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, in such a case, the practice always was, over all the generations, that you do a get ayidei zikui. You mezakeh the get to the isha ayidei achas. So we follow the Bavli, that the Bavli in the end of Yevamos on Kuf Yud Ches and Beis understood that this Mishnah is not an ironclad rule, that every case a get is always a chayva, in every case a shtashichur v'knaini is always a schus. Means that 95% of the time a get is a lechayva, and 5% or maybe 1% of the time it'll be a schus. And 95% of the time a shtashichur is a schus, and 5% of the time it'll be a chayva. There are rare cases, but it will be a chayva. We follow the Bavli, we don't follow the Yerushalmi on this matter.
The Rambam
in the Hakdama sounds like he's adopting the position of the Rif. He says we follow the Bavli because the Psokim of the Bavli were agreed upon with a big conference of many rabbis. It sounds like to the exclusion of the Yerushalmi. So in the introduction of the Rambam to the Mishnah Torah, it sounds like he's going to follow the Rif, but then halacha l'maaseh, practically speaking, in many, many places, the Rama follows Yerushalmi against the Bavli. That's what the Bir Agro points out, that there are many instances where the Rama follows the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. Rabbi Gorin published a whole sefer, and he collected many places, HaRama Baha Yerushalmi, where the Rama is passing like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. So it's a problem. We don't know exactly. In the introduction, it sounds like he is following the Rif, but Lamaisa, he does not follow that that position. Yeah. What's the story with the Kusim? We learned the Gemara Yudam et Aleph. So the Kusim, originally, the Tosis writes in Sukkah, Dav Ches and Beis, and Yivam is Dav Chav Dalet. Tosis writes the original conversion of the Kusim was meaningless. Because it says in Sefer Malachim, Salahim, are you over them? You still worship David Israel. There never was any Kabbalah on mitzvahs at all. There was no gir kaloch. It was a legamri gir shaloi kaloch. And then in the days of the Tanoim, they saw the Kusim were observant to a certain extent. So the Tanoim had a machlekes. Where did it come from? So some of them said, garnish. They were hanging around the Jews for so long, so they picked up some of the practices, the Jewish practices, but the Kusim are geri arayis. The only conversion they ever had was the original conversion because of the lions, and that's not a valid conversion. And the accepted psak aloch is not so. We paskin, we assume historically shuv nizgaru b'leif sholem. There was a second conversion that was b'leif sholem. So the kusma geri emes. But then later in the days of Reb Meir, Reb Meir was gozar leim lias kakum gemurim l'chol devreim because of the fact that the Demusia and the Motzalahim Hagrizim, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, so he declared Dina Kasim. So that we discussed. Okay. So now the din would be Bizman HaZeh, that a Kusi is Dina Kakum. If you have one who's descended from the Kusim, Dina Kakum at least Lechumer. Whether it's Dina Kakum Lekula, that was the Machlekes HaRishonim. So the Pashtus is, we have a Gzera Midirabbanon that's recorded in the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah that you're not allowed to eat Pasakum. Bread that was baked by a non-Jew may not be eaten because it may lead to intermarriage. You're not permitted to eat bisholakum, food that was cooked by a non-Jew, because that may lead to intermarriage. You're not allowed to drink wine that was manufactured by a non-Jew, because all of this, mishum chasnas, may lead to intermarriage. On the Stam Yenim, the Gemara says they threw in another consideration that maybe the Nochri was menastach, the Ayin La with the Zara, and not only should it be also bachir, it should be also bahano as well. That was the icing on top of the cake that was added on. But they wouldn't taste its rights in Avodah Zarah. They wouldn't have made the gzera because of that. That's far-fetched. The initial gzera prohibiting Stam Yenam was really Mishum Chasnus. The same as the Bishul Akum and the same as the Pasakum. So the Pashtus is, let's say a Kusi, you have a group of Kusim, let's say the Kusim are going to bake bread. Am I allowed to eat that bread? So we paskin, no. Reb Meir was gozar leim liyas ka'akum gomorim l'chol devreim at least l'hachmer. So the Kusim are dina ka'akmus, you're not allowed to eat. Bread is Pasakum. But here the Tanoim are discussing on Yudam and Aleph, the Tanoim, this Tosefta and Psochim, Perigbeis and Psochim, this Tosefta is talking before the days of Reb Meir, Gozar Aleim, Lias Kakum, Gurum, Chal Devreim. So before that time, so the Pasakum was, the Pasakum is also, Pasakum is an old Gzera, Pasakum is also, but Lachor the Kusim were not Akum. So the Pas of the Kusim was Mutta. So that's Alpi Pashtus, why the Tosefta has a whole discussion. Are you permitted to eat the Pas the matzah that the kusi baked. Shaila, can you trust the kusi for Pesach or not? Can you trust the kusi for Pesach? How reliable is the kusi? So Tosis raises a question over here. Tosis raises a question, matzas kusi muteris, on Yud Amar Aleph. That there is a passage in the Pirkei de Rav Lezer, chapter Lamed Ches, where it says that if you look in Tanakh, it says when Ezra and Nehemiah were involved in rebuilding the second base on Migdash, so the Kusin gave them a hard time. So at that time, the Chachamim prohibited past Kusin. You don't have to wait till the days of Reb Meir, the Reb Meir Gozer Aleim Lias Kakam, Gmur Mechal Devrem, Akusi Dina Kakam, and Memele, the pass of the Kusi is pas Akam. No, even the Kusin of Dina Kisra, because they were rotten people, because they tried to prevent Oyimavatman Binya based on Migdish by Me Ezra, that says in Tanakh, so that's why they're prohibited. Mikanam Rab Lezer, Kalechot Pas Kusi, Kalechot Besar Chazir. So Rab Lezer, in the Pirkei de Rab Lezer, is quoted as saying, Rab Lezer Ben Hurkanes, Rab Lezer Agam. So he says that they prohibited Pas Kusi. So Tosis has a problem. So what's the whole discussion over here? The Tanaim lived after the Binyan by Sheni, they lived after the Churban by Sheni. So they should have known that Pas Kusi is Osir, even before Rab Meir was Gozalim. Leos Kakim Gun Bechol Devrem. That's like a Pirkei de Rav Lezer. Let's just say that the Gemara doesn't accept the Pirkei de Rav Lezer. So Tosis tries to blend the two in together. Tosis assumes the Gemara knows about the Pirkei de Rav Lezer. The Pas Kusi is also because they got involved. They hoyu mevatlam binyan by Sheni. And still there's a possibility that the Pas Kusi is Mutter. How come? So Tosis quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, the Mar Beisas Yisrael, that's the Tosis Matzas Kusi Muteris. So Rabbeinu Tam answers, the Mar Beisas Yisrael, Sha'os Kusi Matza Mimeno. So how does that answer the question? There's no Isra of Pas Kusi if it's Isas Yisrael. Why not? So there is a Mishnah, the Mishnah says that among the things that you're not permitted to buy from a Nochri that are Rosh Bachila is Gvina Sakum. You're not allowed to buy cheese that was manufactured by a non-Jew. The Gemara gives a whole list of reasons. Seven, eight different reasons why they were goyim on Gvina Sakum. So the Shach writes in Hilchas Gvina Sakum, what happens if you have a Jewish company, a Jewish-owned company, and they have a dairy farm and they milk the cows, and then they have Goyish workers to make the cheese. The cheese is all manufactured by non-Jews, but the milk and the cheese belongs to a Jewish company. So is that called Gvina Sakum because it's made by the Goy? And they say it's called Gvina Sakum because it belongs to a Jew. So the Shach says the minhag always was Lahaka. That's called Gvina Sisor because it belongs to a Jew. Even though the act of making the cheese is done by non-Jews, if there's really a concern that maybe the non-Jews threw in a non-kosher ingredient, they threw in non-kosher rennet, so then it's a question of kashas. But if you know and I know, we all know that they're using microbial rennet. They're not using any trefa ingredients there. Well, the guy is not choshed to go lahachis the Jew. He's not choshed. He's going to go buy some trefa rennet and throw it in. Why should he? He just works for the Jew. So whatever the Jew ordered kosher rennet, so he's going to put in the kosher rennet. The guy is not choshed to do lahachis against the balbas. So so the Shach writes that they were never goyz a gvina sakum if the milk belongs to the Jews. It could be that's what the Rabbeinu Tam is talking about. That we're talking about a situation, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, the Mar Beisas Yisrael, if the dough belongs to a Jew, and the Kusi is the one who does the work, so then there's no Gzeira of Pas Kusi over here. Because it depends on the owner. Yeah. And Shulchan Aruch, this is not accepted. Shulchan Aruch says this is not accepted. Shulchan Aruch, they talk about a Jewish person owns a bakery, and he orders kosher. He always orders kosher flour, and he orders kosher water to mix in the flour. He orders kosher salt and kosher sugar and kosher eggs, and he orders all the ingredients. And the goyim are mixing. The goyim are always making the bread. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to eat that bread. That's called pasach. And even though it's a palter, even though the Ramah is mekel on pas palter, that if the only time the Ramah is mekel, that the only time there's a prohibition of pasakum is if my next door neighbor is a non-Jew, he made Italian bread, and I was watching when he made it, all the ingredients are kosher. There's nothing traced in. But still it's a pasakum, so you're not allowed to eat it because of a chashash chasnas, may lead to intermarriage. Iskar is may lead to intermarriage. So that's if the bread was baked by my next door neighbor, so there's more his karbus than Zakira Badas. We're next door neighbors, we're friends. And he becomes very friendly with me because he gives me some, he shows me he's making this Italian bread, and he gives me some of the bread to eat. But what happens if you have a nochri who bakes bread? He's a baker, and he bakes bread in the neighborhood, and everybody in the neighborhood buys from his bread. So punkt, I'm going to marry his daughter. Why should I marry his daughter? I'm another non-Jew will marry his daughter. I'm not going to marry his daughter. So the Ramah says for Ashkenazim, there's a kula that if it's paspalta, you're allowed to eat it. There's no chashash of chasmas. The Mechaber says not so. The Mechaber says you only allow paspalta where Parsin soil is not available. And the Ramah is mekel that you're allowed to eat paspalta even if Parsin soil is easily available. Then the Shach says that even though we are Ashkenazim and we usually follow the Ramah, this is so big of a kula, it's not right. You really shouldn't follow this kula. You should really adopt the chumrah of the Mechaber that whenever Parsin soil is easily available, you shouldn't rely on paspalta. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch writes that even those who do follow the kula of paspalta, that only applies if the bakery is owned by a non-Jew. What if the bakery is owned by a Jew and the workers are non-Jews? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tur that's worse. There's no heter apalta over there, even though it's owned by a Jewish person. So if this is the pshat in the Rabbein Tam, that the Rabbein Tam says talking to Isli Sisrael, the whole bakery belongs to which everything belongs to Jew, the worker is a klusi, then we don't accept this Rabbein Tam. In Shulchan Aruch they quote just the reverse, that if it's owned by a Jew, if the bakery is owned by a Jew, so even the heter apaspalta doesn't apply, we're more strict. That alone, the fact that the flour is owned, all the ingredients are owned by a Jew, and the whole bread is going to, a Jewish bake shop, is owned by a Jew, that doesn't take off the prohibition of pasap. One could learn another pshat in the Rabbein Tam, an alternate pshat in Rabbein Tam. Dahainu, the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that this prohibition of pas akum only applies if the goy did the whole asiyas ha pas. What if, let's say, the Jew lit the fire, and the goy kneaded the dough and he put it into the oven, or let's say the goy lit the fire and the Jew put the dough into the oven. So the afiyas hapas was done partially by the Jew. Either the shgiras hatanur, either lighting the oven was done by the Jew, or the placing of the bread into the oven was done by the Jew. So if one part of the baking of the bread was done by the Jew, so then it's called pas yisro. It's no longer called pas hapas. It could be that that's what the Rabbeinu Tam is driving at. That if the lisha was done by a Jew, so that means part of the asiyas hapas was done by a Jew. So I think this is also not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We don't accept this Rabbeinu Tam either pshat. We don't accept either version of the Rabbeinu Tam. Whether the Rabbeinu Tam meant to say that if the bakery is owned by a Jew, there's no dina pasakum. It says b'feirush in Shulchan Aruch, not so. It's mochom in such a case. You don't even have the kula paspalta. And the second pshat in Rabbeinu Tam is if the Lisha or the Afia, one or the other, was done by a Jew, there's no din of Pasak, was also not accepted in Shulchan Aruch.
So why is the Shach
Mechalik
between Bina Sakum and
Pasak
and
the... I don't know. Good question. Shach says, by Bina Sakum, that was always the meaning, that if it's owned, if the cheese company, the dairy farmer, the cheese company is owned by a Jew, Friendship Cheese was owned by Scheinbach family for many years, I don't know if it still is. So all the workers were non-Jews and made the cheese, but the company was owned by Jewish people. So the OU used to give a hampshire.
I
wasn't
there like years ago, this way they always used to do it, Jew would light the fire and the OU's company was using the dishwasher. So how would they do that? The
Shulchan Aruch
says
not. No, the Jew lights the fire. So that takes off pasakum. That says in the Gemara, either if the Jew lights the fire, or if the non-Jew lights the fire, but the Jew pushes the tray with the raw dough into the oven. The Jew does one or the other. But what if the lighting of the fire and the putting in the baking is done by the non-Jew, just the lisha was done by the Jew? It sounds like the Rabbeinu Tam either means that. If the lisha was done by a Jew, so the asiyas hapas was partially done by a Jew. Or he means if it's owned by Jews. And neither is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't accept this Rabbeinu Tam. So what do you do with the Rabbeinu Tam's kasha? I guess they assume that the Tanoim don't accept this. They don't hold from this Pirkei d'Rabbeleizer. Pirkei d'Rabbeleizer is never quoted in the Gemara that the kusim, even before Rav Meir made it zayir, you're not allowed to eat pas kusi not because it's pasachim, no, because we have it in for them. Because they were mevatel, they tried to prevent the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, so that's why we want to stay away from them. Yeah, what's the rule? The rule is by when it comes to dini mamonis, a dini nefashis, a dovish b'yerva, we need two kosher eidim. So there the pasuk says, "Al tasha siat chamas ali aysayt chamas." If a person is a rasha de chamas, means he compromises on his principles, machmas chimud mamon. So then lecholadeis he's pasulatus. That's a pasuk in chumash. And if he's a mumer lahachis, not a mumer latiyavan, not that he compromises on his religious principles, machmas chimud mamon. He just doesn't keep kosher, period. So he was never trained. He doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep kashas, doesn't keep all the mitzvahs ha-Torah. So that's a machlokes abai v'rav, and that's what we pass like abai, that the mem of yalkegam, umar echad ve'elis lachis, is also posuleitis. But that's only been good to that halacha, that if a person is a ganef, he's posuleitis, or if a person is a balaver, b'mezin, he's posuleitis, and kol ha-tarkula. That kol ha-tarkula means momenis nefashis and dovish b'yerva. What about Erechonem Visurim? So we have, unfortunately, a lot of people sitting in prison. A lot of people, Dafyomi people, Glad Kosher people, they're sitting in prison. So obviously, they're not obviously, maybe they're framed, but it would appear that they're a Ganavim. Lachari, you can't use them as Eidim. I remember once I was at a wedding, one of the boys from the Kerl went on to learn in Lakewood. This is a story of 30 years ago. He learned in Lakewood and he married a girl from the Aguda world. So they split all the kibbutim. So they couldn't split the kiddushin. So Rav Shnei HaKotel was inside the kiddushin. So they came to the Eidi kiddushin. So they called me up to be one of the Eidim. Then they called somebody else from Borough Park to be the other Eid. So they're waiting. And under the chuppah, Rav Shnei HaKotel told me a long shtickel Torah. He filled up the cup of wine. He's waiting. Told me a long shtickel Torah, which I printed later in his name. Beautiful batter. And the other Eid didn't come up, so they called someone else. They got someone else. So the next day, I was in the yeshiva, and Rabbi Herschel Schechter, that's Rabbi J.J. Schechter's father, tells me, I was there at the wedding last night. I was standing next to Rabbi so-and-so, and I asked them, they called you up to go to be an Eid Kiddush, and he said, they can get another Eid. He didn't understand why till 2 days later. So the New York Times, they had his name prominently featured on the first page. He was indicted for Geneva. That he was cheating the government on his yeshiva on some kind of lunch program, and he skedaddled Eretz Yisrael, and there he lives forever after. He lives happily in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want to, he becomes forever a mistam with all the rest. I don't know. So he knew he was an elch ganef. He knew he was pasulatus. A man is a ganef, is pasulatus. But can you eat in his home? To the dinners, yes, you can eat in his home. Just because he's a rasha de chamas, it doesn't mean that he's not nemanei dechadam yisum. So the Mishnah says that the rule is. Erech HaNemi B'Yisum applies to a case, and each din is judged individually. We said yesterday, if the woman is careful on Taras HaMishpacha, not careful on Kashrus, so she can serve as the mikvah lady, but you can't trust her if she has a restaurant. If the woman is careful on Kashrus, not careful on Taras HaMishpacha, so you can trust her on Kashrus. You can't trust her on the Taras HaMishpacha. The question is, how careful is she going to be on Kashrus already? If she doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, so she's only Neman to that extent that she's careful. She doesn't have the manas past the point that we know she herself is medaktik in. So that's what the Gemara has a whole machlekes atanoim. Can you trust the kusim or not? Because we see that some dinim they do observe and some dinim they don't observe. So what's the story over here? So the Tosefim Psochim has this three-way machlekes atanoim. So the first Tana says, Tankam says, Matas kusim uteres, v'ram yetzibay decha vasa bepesach. That what? That the not allowed to eat chametz b'pesach says in Chumash. We know the kusim used to observe Torah shebichzav; they did not observe Torah shebalpeh, generally speaking. So this is considered Torah shebichzav. The chametz is also as Torah shebichzav. What's the definition of chametz? So maybe you should say the definition of chametz is Torah shebalpeh. So the Tana Kama holds no. Matzah kusim, but Torah you're allowed to eat the matzah that's baked by the kusi because that's Torah Shebichzav, we know that they observe that. And that you can be Yotzei Dechavasa the first night of Pesach, that you need Lishma. Shmura Matzah means that it has to be baked Lishma, so that's also considered. As if it's Mefurish in the Pasuk, Shmarta Mesah Matzah. That's also considered. Shmura Matzah is considered also Torah Shebichzav. So we trust the Kusi, number one, on the Kashrus of the Matzahs to eat the whole Pesach, number two, to eat the Matzah on Leil HaSeder. I Tosfos Rekta Kasha, the Gemara says in the beginning of Chulin, the opening Mishnah of Chulin, that the Kusim, even what they observe, but they hold that the din of Lifnei L'Sita Mikshol means only that you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. There is no such halacha that you're not allowed to feed non-kosher food to a Jewish person. Whatever, it's misasik. Whatever he does know won't hurt him. We sometimes have such a din, that misasik is not considered a maisaver. Whatever he does know won't hurt him. But we say that there are two exceptions to the rule. Misasik b'chalovim u'barai schaib shikein nehenem. When it comes to macholas asuras, when it comes to dias asuras, there's no heter of misasik. And the kusim held as a din of misasik even there. So they held there's no aver of lifneiva. What lifneiva? The sita mirshel. Lifneiva means kipshuto. If I'm going to cause someone else to sin and he doesn't know that he's doing an aver, so it's not an aver. Whatever he does know won't hurt him. If he does know, it's not an aver. So the Gemara says on the opening Mishnah in Chulin, Hakol shechtim shechitosim ksher. Hakol shechtim sounds like lachatchila. Anybody and everybody should be allowed to shecht. But shechitosim ksher says that b'di'evit it's good. So it's astirim in ayibay. Hakol shechtim lachatchila, or is it only good b'di'evit? So the Gemara says the Mishnah perhaps is alluding to various cases. So one of the interpretations the Gemara gives is Mishnah is alluding to a situation where you have a kusi. The kusim will not see what's wrong. If they'll have nevela meat, they'll give me the nevela meat. They hold that the misasik bachalovim is mutta. There's not there. So they won't eat the nevela themselves, but they won't find anything. They won't be uncomfortable in feeding another Jew to eat non-kosher meat. So the Gemara says, so how can I ever rely on shchitas hakusi? The Gemara says, only if I see that he has this big steak, and he's going to eat part of it also. But the chotzi shir is asim and atorah, so they probably don't hold from that either. So you have to be chotzi kezayis for nasin lo. You have to see him eat a whole kezayis. If he's only going to eat a chotzi zayis, he probably hold the chotzi shir as mutter. Mutter and atorah, mutter and derabbanon. They don't hold from all the dinim derabbanon. So the Gemara says, if chotzi kezayis basim and asin lo, if you give him a kezayis, if you see that he's eating from this also, so obviously it's kosher. He's a religious Jew. Just that the chashudim on lifnei iver, the Gemara has in different places. So if you see that he's eating it and he's feeding me from the same steak, so then I'm allowed to eat it. So that's what Tosis is bothered with the kasha over here. How can the Tanakhama say I can rely on the kusi all of Pesach to eat his matzah? You don't have to be concerned. Maybe it's chametz, and not only that, I can eat the matzah's kusi yodim yet dechavasa bePesach that it's even made lishma. That's also considered Torah shebichsav. The kusim are medaktik. And what appears in the Torah Shebichsav. So Tosfos says, but they're not careful about lifnei iver. So maybe this is chametz, and they'll give it to me. And maybe it's not made l'shma, and they'll eat it the rest of Pesach, but they won't eat it by the Seder night. So they'll give it to me because they're not bothered with lifnei iver the Sitei Mishol. So Tosfos says, Chacham Askinan, you have to say that we're talking about such a case. We see that the Kusi says, Asher Kodesh Hamzason, Alachilas Matzah. He's saying the bracha. He's eating this matzah himself. He's making a seder. He's eating this matzah. So obviously, the matzah is not chametz. Maybe this matzah was not made l'shma. Maybe he's going to have more matzah later. It doesn't look like it. It looks like that. That's what the Rashash works over here about. How do you know that he's being yotzeh with this matzah? Maybe he's going to eat. The real shmur matzah is going to eat at the end of the meal. Maybe what he eats in the beginning of the meal is just that it's not chametz, but it wasn't made l'shma. Okay. It doesn't appear so. It appears that he's using this matzah. So if it's good for him, Tanakh says it's good for me. The kusim achashudim alif neiva, but they're not chashudim that they should violate the dina haTorah themselves. Whatever is Torah shebichsav, they observe. That's what the first Tanakh says. Rav Lozer disagrees. Says ein b'kim b'dikdukim mitzvah. You can't rely on the kusim on anything, even on things that are Torah shebichsav. That usually that was the divide, that was the split. The Torah shebichsav they used to observe, and Torah shebichsav like in later generations, the karaim were like that. So the kusim were the forerunners of the karaim. So Rav Lozer says you can't rely on them even on something that's Torah Shebichsav. Rav Shimon Gamliel adds on. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the same as Tanakh, but he seems to be adding on more. So he says Kol mitzvah shechzik kebo kusim, any mitzvah that do observe, habim medaktin kebo yosim Yisrael. Then they're very medaktik. They're even more meticulous than a religious Jew. Religious Jew has a family tradition. This is the way you do it. The kusim are extremists. So they'll be more medactic. So in other words, he says, against Rav Lozer, he says the same as Tanakhama, that you can't rely on the kusim, both with respect to eating the matzah all of Pesach, and with respect to eating it for the Seder night, that you can rely on that they made it lishma. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says the same as Tanakhama. That's what the Gemara asks. Rashi quotes. Rashi 10 lines from the bottom of the Rashi. It's a Bahakol Shechtem in the first pair of Tenchula, and the Gemara asks, isn't Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying the exact same thing as the Tanakama? That in this case the Kusi is Nema. The Gemara is Mefarish. Tossi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, O Sufi Tanakama is adding on, even a mitzvah that's not Mefurish and Torah Shebichsav. Tanakama seems to split between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Chometz is Torah Shebichsav, and Lishma is Torah Shebichsav. So that we know the Kusim observe. Comes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Kol mitzvah shechizikibu, kol is a ribu. He says, kol mitzvah, any and every mitzvah, even a mitzvah that's not Torah shebichsav, even a mitzvah that's only Torah shebal peh. But if we see hechizikibu kusim, we see that they're medaktik in it, so then we can rely on them. That's based on this. The whole discussion over here is based on the assumption, like the Mishnah in Bechayra says, achoshel al adav al adonav al amid, in that area that the person doesn't observe, he doesn't. In Issa Vehete, he does not have them on us. And the other areas of the mitzvah satay, which he does observe, they do have them on us. So the kusim, even before a mayor, was gozer aleim, liyas kakm, gvam, chaldirim. The kusim used to pick and choose. A lot of mitzvahs they didn't observe at all. A big chunk of the Torah Shabbat Peh, dinim derabbanon, they didn't observe. But many dinim deraisa they did observe. So that's where the Tanakame and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel both say the same thing in principle. A shade of difference between them. They both say that those mitzvahs of Torah Shebichsav that they observe, said you can rely on them. Ablaz is the one who says you can't rely on anything. You can never tell what's doing with the kusim. You may be surprised and you'll find out that they're not observing you. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. What's going on over here? The Mishnah says if you have a shtar halva, shtar mecha, any shtar that's signed by a kusi, it's not acceptable. Unless it's a geti, shtar shechayv haviknani, signed by a kusi, it is good. Gemara says, how do you distinguish between them? What's the story? Do the kusim hold from Eda Sheker? Are they, well, Eda Sheker is Dina Chumash. Yeah, but Mipiyam Elom Piksav, and maybe Shtoris is only made the Rabbanon. So maybe he doesn't believe in Eda Sheker and the Shtar. Maybe he thinks Eda Sheker is only when you say Valpet. When you sign a Shtar, maybe the holder is not Dina of Eda Sheker. So Gemara wants to know, so how do you understand the Mishnah? Why is it that a shtar shichur aviknayin and a getisha signed by kusi is acceptable, and every other shtar is not acceptable? What is it all about? Unless you say da'achzik b'ha v'la achzik b'ha, unless you say that we have investigated, the Mishnah assumes we have made a whole psychological survey, a research, and we came to the conclusion that the kusim are careful about eda sheker in the area of getisha and shtar shichur aviknayin. And all other shtaris, they couldn't care less. That they're observant, they're careful about Eda Sheker here, they're not careful about Eda Sheker there. That's a funny pshat. Achzik b'ha v'la achzik b'ha. That's a funny pshat. So Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, no. Gemara says, no. The Olam, that was, the Kusi signed first, and the Yisrael Kosher signed second. We have it in the Rabbanon, Eidi Aget, and Nishtashich, Rabbi Knaini, Echos, Memel, Zad, Befnei, Zad, because it is there, Mishum Kulchem. So therefore, if the Kusi signed first and Yisrael signed second, so it must be the fact that the Yisrael is from a religious family. So from the fact that the Yisrael signed along with the Kusi, and he's not going to sign a Getish and a Shtar Shechayv HaKnayin unless he knows who the others were signing with them. Ein Chos Malakein, Ein Chos Mezeh Shelo Befnei Zeh. They have to say he's not going to sign unless he knows who his partner is. So obviously the other person is a Kusi Chogar. He's a medaktik mitzvah. So this is only acceptable, that's how the Gemara explains the Mishnah. So this is only acceptable by the Getish and the Shtar Shichur HaVeKnayini. By Shar Shtaris, there is no such halach, ein chos me'elo zeh b'fnei zeh. So it could be that Yisrael signed second. So why did Yisrael sign below the Kusi? You should have seen that Shtar is signed by Kusi. You should have walked away. Don't sign. The answer is no, it could be that Yisrael signed first. It could be he left an empty space. He thought that an older person, Rav Cheshavik, l'man dikoshish minit, he left an empty line because he thought that somebody older than him is going to sign earlier, so out of respect for the older gentleman, he left the empty space. And then they went ahead and they had a Kusi sign first. And any other shtar, it doesn't prove anything, it doesn't indicate anything, the fact that the Kusi is signed first and the Yisrael is signed second. But by Gedish and Shtar Shechayv HaKnayini, the fact that the Yisrael is signed second, that's an indication that he knows who the Kusi is, and this Kusi is okay. This Kusi is kosher. This Kusi is kosher. So that's the Gemara's pshat in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, yeah, but this pshat is only good if you accept Rabbi Loza's statement. When the Mishnah says, Kol get sheyesh olav eight kusi, means literally eight echad kusi. Lechi Kusi is signed first and Yisrael signed second. So the fact that Yisrael signed second is an indication that he knows where the Kusi is. But it would appear from the Mishnah that Maisa Shehevir Lefnei Rab Gamliel Lekvarus Noi Get Isha Shehoyu Eidov Eidei Kusim. It sounds like they're both witnesses were Eidei Kusim, and he still accepted the get. So how was that? We just gave a whole explanation why it has to be only Eid Echad. The first thing Moshe suggests, maybe it's a misprint in the Mishnah, maybe it's a Tosefer Tini Eido. Abai says you should correct the reading in the Mishnah. You shouldn't say V'hoyu Eidov Eidei Kusim V'hoyu Eido Eid Kusi. Everything should be written in the singular. And Rav is not happy. How do you make a Hagod? The Mishnah reads well the way it stands. You have no tradition that it should be written in the singular. So Rabbi says, no, the Yordam Trey. And Rabbi Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakam. Tanakam says we only allow it if there's an Eid Echad Kusi, who was signed first and Yisrael signed second. So that's a Hechacha, that is Kasha Leidus. And Rabbi Gamliel is Mekel even if both of the Eidim are Kasha. Why Mishum Igun Akila Berabon? I bet the Kusim is Anandach Pasala Eidus. What do you mean, Mishum Igun Akila Berabon? That's what Rashi explained. No, the Rashi and the Rambam, the Tosafot like that. Kusim are only poslim to the Rabbanan. They're not really poslim in our Torah. They're not the Bali Aver B'mezid. The Rambam writes if in Hilchos Eidus, the Rambam writes, a person does an Aver, he's poslim Eidus, only if he knows that it's an Aver. If he doesn't know that it's Osir, so he can't say that he's poslim Eidus. So here also, the Kusim, we're not talking about Dor Rishon of Kusim, we're talking about the later generations. That's the way they were educated by the parents. The parents told them, Chal Shabbos, do this, do that. So everything that every avera that they do is considered an avera b'shoigeh. So strictly speaking, minatora they're kosher leidus, and the psula and the kusim is only with the rabbanon. So Rabbi Gamliel is quoted by the Mishnah saying, "Mishum iguna kila be rabbanon bought by getish and shtashicher Rabbi Kanani." If the edim, both of the edim, were signed that kusim, we would be meikel. So the whole psula in the first place is only a psula the rabbanon. So that's the gemara that we learned already. Then the next Mishnah we also learned, we discussed a lot. So what's the story? Is a Nochri Kosher Le'edus? So he said, so we had this Mechudish Dikar Rashi. Yad HaMachlekes Rashi and Tesis. The top Tesis on Testament base is really disagreeing. They don't quote Rashi, but Tesis is really disagreeing with Rashi. Rashi sounds like he says, a Nochri is only possible Eidus in the area of Git Mikidushin, because we had the Gemara Baba Basa on Kuf, where was it? Kuf Nunhei. That a Kotn is possible Eidus. We have Rabbi Kiveger in Baba Kama, Daf Peches, and Akash, and Yoyan Hashas. We have four different reasons why a Kotn is possible Eidus. Why you need four reasons? So there are answers. You got to work out. You need each reason adds on more cases. So one of the reasons was the original source was in Baba Basa, Kuf Nunhei. The Gemara says a Kotn. It's possible later because Eina B'Torah Smekuch HaMemkar. A cotton can make in Yonah. Wherever Eina B'Torah is possible later in that area. So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara, Anochri is possible later in the area of Gittin Mikidushin because Eina B'Torah is Gittin Mikidushin. Wherever Eina B'Torah is possible later. That's why the Gemara asked the question on the bottom of Yudam and Yudam and Beis. How can Reb Shimon say, Afeiluk Sherim, even a Gedisha, Shtashich Rabbi Kanaini, which is other Bakosh and Nochem is kosher, how can it be kosher? Valabene Krisis Nino. So what was the Kasha Labene Krisis Nino? It means if a Nochri is any Batoris Gidmi Kedushin, so he's postulated in that area. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. Taisa says, yeah, that's one reason why he's postulated, but then there's another reason why he's postulated. A Nochri is postulated even in Dini Mominus. Rashi sounds like he says, a Nochri is kosher in the area of Dini Mominus. Why? Because the Nochri, one of the seven mitzvahs of the Nochri is Dinim. That's the Rashi, four lines from the top on Testament base. That's what the Hagos HaRosh on that dot on Testament base quotes the Sefer HaChochma from one of the Rishonim, that a Nochri would theoretically be Kosher Leidus and a Dinim in this case because he's Yesh Demetoiras. That Dinim is one of the seven mitzvahs of the Nochri. The only thing is, if he's a crook, so if a Jew is a crook, he's Kosher Leidus. So if the Nochri cheats in business, it'll also be postulated. So Rashi is postulated. But if you have an Erlich HaGoy, so according to the Sefer Chachman, it seems that Rashi says like that also, Anochri will really be kosher leidus. So let's go back again to Mishnah. Kol Ashtar Sa'olim HaKosh Anochrim HaKosher. Why is that? Only Bar Kosh Anochrim. If you have a shtar that's signed by Nochrim, not the Niyakoes, so then it's not kosher. Why? Because we assume that Mistama the Nochrim are Becheskas Gazlonim, Echshudim Alagezel. So we say Astam Yisrael has a Cheskas Kashrus. We're not so convinced that it's Stam. The question whether Bizman is there, but they have a right to assume that Stam Yisrael has a Cheskas Kashrus. Maybe Cheskas Kashrus is based on Rav. The Rav Jews are religious. Rav Jews are observant, not Ganovim and religious people. Today, unfortunately, the majority of the Jews are Bali Avera. The Jews don't keep Shabbos and Kashrus, and maybe there's not more any Cheskas Kashrus. That's a Shaila where the Cheskas Adiyun in Achreinim, where the Cheskas Pnei Shua talks about it in the Gemara in different places, where the Cheskas Kashrus is based on Roiv, that Roiv people are Shermi Mitzvahs, that Bizman Azeh wouldn't apply anymore. Or Cheskas Kashrus is based on Chazaka, that when I was born I didn't know any Averis yet. After I grew up, that's when all the Averis begins. Everyone when they were born is Cheskas Kashrus. So that's a Shaila where it applies Bizman Azeh. But by the Nochrim we don't give a Cheskas Kashrus. So that's what the Mishnah says. If you have a shtar that's oile, a shtar that's signed by a Nochri, so you don't know that it's authentic. Then if you have a Jew who's a Ganef, he's postulated. So the Nochrim don't have a Cheskas Kashrus, so we can't rely on it. But if it's a shtar oile b'akor shel Nochrim, so in principle Nochrim should be kosher le'edus, mamon, according to Rashi in the Sefer HaChochma. According to Tosfos, a Nochri is postulated in all areas. It's halach, it says, Ochicha. So the Gemara says in Bava Kama Daf Peches that in Ebekanayin is postulated because it says, Liochiv. So Nochri for sure is not called Ochiv. So according to Tosfos, Nochrim are always postulated. So how can you say that Kol Ashtar Soilim Akosha Nochrim, how is it ever good? So Tosfos says, only Takonim de Rabbanim. Ikra Din de Reis, it's no good. Why do they make a Takonim de Rabbanim? So Tosfos says, because we know, Hecha Dikim Lo Mesad Sayu Shehu Emes. According to Rashi, one could argue the point and say it's not that it's a Takana de Rabban. No, it's a real bona fide din de Raisa. That if it's Dama Nochri, there's no Cheskas Kashrus, so it's like a Jew is postulated. A Jew is a Gana. But if it's the Akor Shel Nochrim, so we revert back to the Ikira din de Raisa, that a Nochri is Koshelaitis, and there's no Hashash Meshachar over here. So we would say that it would be good. So what's Takadin then, let's say, Ashtar Choy, Oila Akor Shel Nochrim? And the Gemara says that loy mari nafshayu, if not for the fact that the court saw the malva lend the money to the loy, they would never have signed. The court would never have signed on official stationery such a document. They would not have written a shtar. So if you have a shtar, shtar halvoa, so it's a good shtar. And it has the taka the status of a milva de shtar, or no? It's a riot that he owes him the money, but it's not called a milva de shtar. So this is a beferish gemara, black and white. The only thing is there are two girsas. What does it say? Black and white. On Yud Testament base, Tosfos tells you to look on Yud Testament base. Right in the middle of Yud Testament Beis, the Gemara tells us two stories, Rav Papta and Ameima, let's see. So they say, Rav Papa, the line begins with the word Papa. Rav Papa ki havi osi lekamei shtora parso do'ovid barkoa shal kusim. A shtora parso, written in Persian, that came from the Akoa shal Nochrim. So he didn't know how to read Persian. Should have gotten Professor Elman to read for him. So what do? He got two Nochrim. Each one would be in Mesech Lefitumai. And then after ascertaining what it says in the Shtar, and the Shtar was Oile Barakosh Shal Nochrim, we assume that it's legitimate. Umagvi Bey Mimishabdi. That's what it says in Agamar. Umagvi Bey Mimishabdi. So he's talking about a Shtar Oile Barakosh Shal Nochrim that you can collect from Mishabadim. So the Magen Mishnah says that others have the gears that Magvi Bey Mibnei Chori instead of Mishabadim. You look in Choshe Mishpat, where is this Gimel? You look there in Choshe Mishpat, Sim and Samaches, Siv Beis. So the Mechaber and the Ramah quote the two Girsas. One quotes the Girsa that if you have a Shtar Choyev Ho'ele Ba'akor Shal Nochrim, you can even collect from Mishabadim. It has the bona fide status of a Milva Bishtar. And the other one say no, it has the status of a Milva Alpeh. Then the next story the Gemara tells, next story, for sure you go to Menachosim Shibon. Where's the next one? Amar Ameimar. The next line. Amar Avashi, Amalei Ravuna Banas, Nachi Amar Ameimar. So what did Ameimar say? By the tiny letter Dalet. Hai Shtara Parso, if you have a star written in Persian, the Chasimi Alei Sahadi Yisrael. Not our Koshal Nachi. Not that it was... Not signed by non-Jews, by the non-Jewish court. Signed by Jewish people, but it's all written in Persian. So you don't know how to, the Rabbanim don't know how to read Persian. So what's the din? So the Gemara says, Magavinim Beimim Mishabdi. It's a regular milveh b'shtar, and you can collect from the Chasim Mishabod. Freg the Gemara, but we don't know what it says in the shtar. Hakane Bezen, V'holayadi Lemikri. We don't know what it says. How do we know, how do the Edom know what they were signing? The Gemara says, Bidiyadi. We're talking about a case that the Edom read it and the Bezin reads and they know. Don't you need, in order that a shtar halva should be valid, has to be exception yochel hizdai. Gemara says, but the afitzon, it was made properly. It's any yochel hizdai. Habin and tzach lachs minyan shetam shitach rein of aleko. Everything what bin mehader does have has everything. So what is the chiddush that Amemer is telling us that you can collect from the chasam shibadim if a shtar is written in Persian? So what's the chiddush? The kolosh and kosher. That a shtar is good not only in Hebrew, a shtar is good if it's written in Persian. Also, Freg the Gemara, Tanina isn't a beferish in Mishnah. Get your ksava ivris made of Yavonis. Yavonis made of ivris kosher. The Mishnah says later, where is it? Pezayin on the base. You have 12 lines of the get, then you have the two signatures on the bottom. So the Mishnah says, if the get is written in ksava ivris, written in Hebrew, Ashur is. The aid of Yavanis and the witness is signed in Greek. Or the get is written in Greek and the witness is signed in Savashuris. So the Mishnah says that that's acceptable. So the Gemara says, no, don't you see from the Mishnah that a get, any shtar, even a get that's written in Persian is also good. How can you see that from the Mishnah? Maybe the Mishnah only means that only Savashuris and Ksav Yavanis? Maybe these are the only two alphabets that are acceptable. That's we mentioned when we learned the Gemara. We learned the Tosfos about Amir Eliyakim and Daf Ches and the Beis. So we mentioned that in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, such an opinion is quoted. The only time there's a Melacha of Ksiva Deraisa is if you're writing either in Ksav Ashuras or you're writing Ksav Yavanis, because the Mishnah says in Megillah that Kisvei HaKodesh Tanakh can either be written in Ksav Ashuris, the Hebrew alphabet that we use for Sefer Torah, or in Ksav Yevonis, because based on the Pasuk, Yavta Elokim Leyefes, Yish can be all Lishem. But you cannot write a Sefer Torah in any other, that's in the Mishnah, you cannot write a Sefer Torah in any other characters. So there is such an opinion in Shulchan Aruch that HaKose B'Shabbos is only Chayiv. The Malach HaKsiv only applies if he writes either in Ksav Ashuris or he writes in Ksav Yevonis. These are the only two scripts that are acceptable. The others are not accepted. And then they say that that's meduyik in the Mishnah. The Rishonim got it from this Mishnah on Peizayinim and Beis, that it says in the Mishnah that if the get is either written in Ivris or in Yavanis, it's acceptable. And the inference is that every other alphabet is not acceptable. It's beferish against this Gemara. The Gemara says over here, black and white, that Persian. Persian means they're using the Persian alphabet. Not just they're using the Hebrew alphabet. They're not writing in Hebrew characters, transliterating from the Persian. The Pashan Shtore Parso, they wrote in the Persian alphabet. Don't they have their own alphabet? I think they do.
No, the Rambam in the back of the Persian Shnayim have English letters in the Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that you can write English letters also.
The Rambam does not agree, right? The Rambam does not agree with this theory, right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan and Rub, the Pasuk, they make fun of the Shita. They say, we don't accept that opinion. They taina that the Ramah shouldn't have even quoted it L'chumre. L'kula Feshuna. So this Gemara is Dach Beferish. Here the Gemara says they had a shtar that was written in Persian alphabet. The Gemara says, Ma'ka Mashmalon, that a shtar b'chalosh in his kasha t'ninu etz yisif in the Mishnah Pezayin. The Gemara didn't think that the Mishnah is only talking about Ashuris or Yavonis. Any language is acceptable. So Gemara says, no, one might have thought there's room to distinguish. You would have thought maybe you're only makel by Gedisha, Mishum, Miguna, Kilibe, Rabbanon. In other words, Menatoira, any ksav is good, but Midirabbanon, you should only write in Hebrew. Aye, but a get can be written in other languages, so that's a kula. We were mekel, we left it on a din deraisa. And all other stars have to be written officially in the Hebrew language. So kamash malon, that is not so. Right. So in the second case, Omar amem hashtar parso de chasim elei sadi samagvin and beimim mishabde. There are no two girsas. Everybody agrees you can collect from the chosim shibbodim. But the first case, rapapa, kiosa lekamish dar parso dovid bar koes. So there you have the two girsas that the Mechaba and the Ramo quote in Simon Samaches, and the Magen Mishnah quotes the two girsas. The one girsa has it like printed in our editions, Magvi Beimim Mishab, the other girsa has it, you only collect from Bnei Chorin. Yeah, the Shaila is, according to Rashi in the Sefer HaChochma, that a Nochri is really kosher le'edis, a Nochri is only, Nochri is only pasal le'edis, in Inyana Git Nikidushin, because he's ain't a Betoras. But in Dini Mominus, he's Yeshna Betoras. So a Shtar would basically be good if it's signed by Nochri. The only reason why it's not good because the Chashudim Alagezo, like a Jew who's dishonest as Pasolatus. But if the court is not Choshud Alagezo, Lamari Nafshayu, so then you revert back to say that is good. See, by us, we have a din, we pass like a bai by Jews. The Namuma Echel Nevelis, Lahachis is also Pasolatus. By a Goy, all you have is if he's a Rosh Hashanah, if he's a Chashash Meshaker. If a Nochri doesn't have a Chashash Meshaker, you don't have a Gzeris. Let's say the Nochri always violates Eivim and Achai, the Mezid. Nochri eats Eivim and Achai, the Mezid. You're going to say that he's Pasolatus according to Abai, Halachic Abai, the Alkegam. There's a Muma Echel Eivim and Achai, Lahachis. So he's Pasul Eidus, he's a Russia. So it would appear L'chor not. The Rashi in the Sefer Chochma hold that the Shtar Hola Ba'Kosher Nochrim is a Kosher Shtar. Only if he's a Nochri, he's a Gazlan, he's Choshed L'Shaker. But if it's Le'mari Napshayu by the courts, so then it's a Kosher Shtar. So if it's a Kosher Shtar, so it's a Milva B'Shtar. So that's what the Rishonim had a Girsa. That's what we have in our editions of the Gemara, Yutas on the base. That you collect from the Chosim Mishabad. It's a regular star. The other Rishonim held like Tosis. Nah, most of the Rishonim held not like that. Not like that. Rashi in the Sefer HaChochma. It says Achicha Kasher Zamam Lasis Liachiv. If an Eved Kanani is postulated, even though he's Chayv in Mitzvahs Kisha, so Nochri who's not even Chayv in Mitzvahs Kisha is only Chayv in the Sheva Mitzvahs. That for sure is going to be postulated. So Nochri is always postulated. If you have a shtar ha'ol ba'kosh anochim, so Tosis says they made a takana de rabbanon, because we know like mari nafshayu, so they made a takana de rabbanon. Ela takanta de rabbanon hechad kim la masad esay shuhem is like mari nafshayu. But that doesn't elevate it to the level of a shtar. It means as a ruvid leisa come on that the story is true, that the havor really took place. But bottom line, there's still no shtar. It's still a milv al peh. It's a milv al peh that's islay kol. We accomplish milv al peh islay kol. But a milv al peh, a lot of times there's a milv al peh is like kola, and they still don't collect from the chosim mishabad. The chachamim made a takana. It's dafke milv bishtar or kabbalas kinyan. But if you have a milv al peh that has a lot of kola, you still don't collect from the chosim mishabad. So that's the pashtas, the other girsa on the Utes on the base, that they felt that the girsa is that eshtar ho'ala ba'kosh anochrim, you cannot collect from the chosim mishabad. What do you do? We had a machlekes harishonim whether the shtar halvoa that enables the malva to collect in the chasim shibadim is because it serves as a shtar kinyan or because it serves as a shtar raya. The two opinions. What if you write a shtar halvoa without any edi chasim and you give it over in the presence of edi mesira? So the machlekes are mayor of laws with edi chasim akars edi mesira akars, and that's by shtar kinyan. By shtar raya, there's no machlekes. So what about a shtar halvoa to enable the malva to collect from the chasim mishabatim? Does that work with Torah shtar kinyan or with Torah shtar rayim? So if you hold that it works with Torah shtar kinyan, so the nochem who signed, it doesn't have the status of a shtar. But if you hold that it works with Torah shtar rayim, so it is a rayim. No, mid the rabbanon they said that it is a rayim. That's what Tosis says on Testament Base. Mid the rabbanon they said takanta the rabbanon hech dikim la misad isayu by the akoyes. Some of the Rabbanah they declared that it is a raya. So why shouldn't it be? Why does the Gemara say in New Testament, based according to most of the Rishonim, you only collect by shtar choy pa'ol ba'kosh anochim? You only collect in the chosim b'nei chorin. Why don't you collect in the chosim shibadim? Consider it a shtar raya. So they say b'shem Rab Chaim and the chidushim in Piyah Shmua. That's not a shtar raya. You have a piece of paper over here signed by Nachrim. It's, the whole thing is meaningless al pidin. But we know that it's an official stationery from the government court office. So we know that the halvo occurred. But that doesn't elevate it to the level of a shtar raya. Bottom line, it's not a shtar raya. It's not a shtar raya. We have a hechocha that it happened. We have a ruv leisakam and rumdin that they would never have signed such a document on their official stationery if the halvo never took place. But it's still, sof kol sof, it's not a shtar raya. They're psuliyedus. So that's why the girsa in the Gemara later is, that's why most of the Rishonim had the girsa. The first Gemara, Rapap, by the shtar ha'ele bar kosh anochim, is only makvi bei b'nei chorim, not makvi bei menachos ha'mishubodim. To collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, you have to have a milva b'shtar. Not enough that you have islay kol, a milva pe islay kol, you have to have milva b'shtar. A milva b'shtar it isn't. According to Rashi it is. According to Rashi in the Sefer HaChachma, it'll be a milva b'shtar. It's kosher leilis. Yeah. On the assumption that you don't collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, what about the other din? The two differences between milva b'shtar and milva b'peh. So one is a milva b'peh you only collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, and milva b'shtar you collect from the chos ha'mishubodim. From the lukuchos, the other difference is the loiva belief the taina parua. So the milva b'peh I bring to witnesses, the loiva can say paraiti, and that's he doesn't have, he's off the hook. And milva b'shtar can't say paraiti because the malva says shtoch b'yodim my boy, he's holding on to the shtar. So what about over here? On the assumption that there's no collecting from the chos ha'mishubodim, that the correct gears on your test on the base is that you only collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, but still the fella has a shtar ho'ele b'akos. So can the loiva, will the loiva be believed to taina paraiti or not? So that's a whole hullabaloo. Again, the Rambam and the Raivin and the Rabbis of Shalai Rambam, we had this when we learned the din of shtar b'ksav yodoy. The malva has a shtar b'ksav yodoy signed by the loiva. I borrowed $100,000 from you, and the debt is due in another 2 years. And the malva holds on to the shtar. So the Mishnah says in the end of Baba Basra, if you have a shtar b'ksav yodoy shal loiva, it's only goyvim b'nechorin. You're not goyvim b'chosim b'shabodim. So there was a machlokes, the Rif and the Balamor, in the end of Baba Basra, the last Balamor and Ramban, the end of Baba Basra. If you have a shtar that you cannot collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, does this necessarily always tie in together with inability? If you can collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, from the lekuches, then the loiv is not believed to say paraiti. If you can't collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, then the loiv is believed to say paraiti. Are they always totally zebizeh or not necessarily so? So the Rif claims that they're totally zebizeh and the others disagree. We gave different explanation, why should it be totally zebizeh? So that's the same asik appears over here in Hilchos Malva V'loiva. And Hilchos Malva V'loiva. And the Rambam quotes this din, Shtari Choyv Hodem Akol Shal Nochrim. So he says, his Rabbeim Paskin, Hodem Rabboisai. That's the Rambam. It's a very long halacha, Perek Chav Zayin Halacha Aleph, in Hilchos Malva V'loiva. Chav Zayin is the last parak in Malva V'loiva. It's a long parak. So Loch Aleph is very long. So he writes, Hora Rabbis and Shafilu Shtori Chob Shalohem, Shenosna Hamoes with name Psulim, the Einani Moedabon. The Raman quotes his Rabbis that Akoy Shanochrim, if you have a Shtachoiv, it doesn't have the status of Shtachoiv. That was the Girsa in the Gemara, Goivim in the Chosim, but you're not Goivim in the Chosim, Mishabod. And the Rambam says, Veinani Moedabon, he doesn't agree. So the Ravid sticks up for Rabbi Yisuf Shalom. Amar Avam Yafa Ha Rabbi Yisuf. Shafel Ha Yishtachev Shalahem. Ola Be'akor Shalahem. Lechasmei Matam. Ein Agoivim Min Achasim Mishibadim. Hilkach. Since you don't collect from the Achasim Mishibadim, so therefore the Levi is believed to say Parua. So the Ravid writes that it's totally Zebezem. Hilkach. Efshe Shinifar Veloi Tavoi. A shtar choyv hoyle ba'kol shel nochrim does not have the status of milva b'shtar, not with respect to chos ha'mishubodim, and also not with respect to tainus paraiti. And then the Magen Mishnah quotes that there were those who disagree, hold not, they had the other girsa, even collect from the chos ha'mishubodim, and others who said, no, the girsa is you collect only from the chos ha'mishubodim, but he's not believed to say paraiti. That's a shayla. What prevents the loiva to say paraiti when you have a milveh b'shtar. So the Gemara says shtar chabiyadi my boy. So we say shtar chabiyadi my boy is a ruba d'leisa kamon. A moitzi moment from the muchzor based on ruba d'leisa kamon. That was Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Ain halch me'mamen acher rav hayu moitzi mam. So we had two answers. Some answered it's such a strong rive. Rabbi Kivega writes in one place, but if you have a very strong rive, that the miut against the rive is a miut, even a mayor's like Haishal miuto, so such a strong rive is Hochem Imam and Acher Rav. You can be Moitzi Imamen based on such a rive. So that's one suggestion, that the umdine of Shtarcha B'yodim my boy is so strong, it's even good to be Moitzi Imamen. And the other suggestion was, no, it's not simply based on a Rubid Leisa Kaman. The fact that that's probably the case, that he probably didn't pay, the fact that I'm holding a shtar is an indication he didn't pay, so therefore this is considered as if it's a chelek of the Haggadah Seder and the shtar. That's what the Rav Baruch Ber quotes in the name of Rav Chaim, that's what Rabbi Kivega writes in his tshuva also. It's considered as if it's included in the Haggadah Seder and the shtar. So that's the shaila. Does the shtar hold about kosher enough? Does it really have a din of a shtar? If you say things are included in the Haggadah Seder, so that's the only one who says it has a din of shtar, this Sefer HaChochma. That's quoted by the Haggos Ashri. And the Rashi sounds like he says like that. Rashi is a major addition. But Tosis didn't like it in a big way. That's the top Tosis on Tesla base. Tosis says it can't be. And Nochri is postulated, it's even in the area of Dini Mamanis. That's the Shaila. The next Gemara. The Gemara on Yudom and Beis comments on the Mishnah. Says, Kol HaShtoros HaOlam B'Kosh HaNochem Mare. Good. Because by Mare Nafshayu, so it's a Raya that this thing really happened, the Havar really happened, and so on. The Mechiva really happened. Except for Getish and Shtashir Chavik, because the guy, my apostle, is Laban Ekrisis Nim. So the Gemara asks, Kapasik V'Toni, the Mishnah says, Kol HaShtoros, any and every star that's all about Kos, it's Kapasik V'Toni, sounds like it doesn't make a difference whether it's a Shtar Mech or Shtar Matona. I understand the one person paid money to the other one. He was really kind of bekesef. Karka's name is bekesef. Then the secular court wrote a document that he bought the field bekesef. So the shtar mecher is really a shtar raya that he was kind of with the kenya kesef. But by shtar maton, he's not paying a penny for it. He gave it to him in maton. So what is the vehicle whereby he acquires ownership of the karka? The shtar itself, nu the shtar is a chachas bebialm is puzzle. So how does the Mishnah say, Kol HaShtar Sa'olam HaKos? All stars, you should have said just the Shtar Havoy is good, that he has to pay. And the Shtar Mecha is good, because I know that it was kind of a kesa. How is the Shtar Maton any good? Shouldn't it be a Chaspa B'Yalma? That's the Lashon HaGemara. Let it be. Chaspa B'Yalma means absolutely worthless. Like a piece of clay. They used to engrave stars, they used to write stars on a piece of clay. The Chaspa B'Yalma means a blank piece of paper, a blank piece of clay, absolutely worthless. Why does the Gemara think that it's a chaspa b'yam? So that's what the Tzais HaChoshen asks. In this siman, Samaches, where this is quoted, all the dinim of HaKol Shanachem. So this is a famous Tzais. So he asks the question, why is it a chaspa b'yam? If you hold like Rashi in the Sefer HaChochma, that Nochrem HaYeshnam B'Torah is dinim. Dinim is from the Sheven Mitzvahs B'nach. So a shtar that's signed by Nochri is a kosher shtar. So why does the Gemara say that it's a chaspa b'yam? It's all about kos. It's not that they're chashurim l'shake. B'ki ha'gabden, they're not chashurim l'shake. Why should it be a chaspa b'yalma? So the Tzais comes up with a fantastic suggestion. He quotes a Tzais in Kiddushin on Daf Yud Dalet. Tzais quotes Rabbi Natan. That was a shayla he raised before. When a nochri is selling karka, buying karka, which kinyan works? So Rabbi Natan, 2 days in Taisa. So Rabbi Natan comes up with a chiddush that shtar doesn't work. Only kesef works. Shtar does not work. We're not so convinced that we follow this Rabbi Natan. When we sell the chametz to the nochri, we make 6 kinyonim because we're not sure which kinyon works. So 2 of the 6 kinyonim are that we rent the karka where the chametz is located b'shtar, and then either agav the karka with the kinyon chotzer. The Nochri is kind of the Chometz, but we are renting the karka to the Nochri with the Kenya Shtar. So Rabbi Natan says that Shtar doesn't work by Nochri. It doesn't get off the ground. According to Rabbi Natan, he can knock out 2 of the 6 kinyonim. So you're only left with 4 kinyonim. 4 kinyonim is also enough. More than enough. That's why we make 6 kinyonim, because Rabbi Natan knocks out these 2 and someone else knocks out the other one. There is a sheet of knocking out each kinyon. We don't have any one kinyon that's muskam l'chol ha'deis. So Rabbi Natan would throw out these 2 kinyonim, because he holds that Shtar doesn't work. So that's what the Ksaisa Choshen says. Anochri is Yeshna Metoras Halvoa. Anochri is Yeshna Metoras Shevin Mitzvahs Benei Noach. So Rashi says, Anochri is Kosher Leidus, he's only possible Leidus in Gitmi Kiddushin, La Benei Krisis Ninu. Whoever, in the area where you're Eina Betoras, you're possible Leidus. So the Nochri, since the Nochri, according to Rabbeinu Tamshit in Kiddushin Af Yudalit, it's in a few other places in Shas also. So according to Rabbeinu Tamshit in Kiddushin Af Yudalit, that a Nochri doesn't have a Kinyan Shtar, so a Nochri is Eina Betoras Kinyan Shtar. So that was the choice. That was the Gemara's kasha. High shtora shtar matona should be a chaspa bialmo, because since the nochri is zayin b'toris kinyan shtar, so in the area where zayin b'toris it should be posoleidus. That was the Gemara's kasha. It should be chaspa bialmo, but not all the rishonim agree to that. That a nochri is doesn't have a kinyan shtar. So what does it mean chaspa bialmo? So that's why Rashi and Tosfos work hard over here. So we'll learn it tomorrow. We should start from this. Rashi and Tosfos on Yudim and Beis. How do they understand Chas B'Mal? At the end of the Tosfos, Tosfos says they're rejecting a pshat that they don't like. I will ein loymar. Ein loymar. So that ein loymar, there's a long arichas in the Tosfos HaRosh. They say yesh loymar. They like that pshat. You read the Tosfos, you break your head. What did Tosfos say? So you have to look in the Tosfos HaRosh. Tosfos HaRosh says something along the lines of the Ktsos, but not the same. The Ktsos we can understand. The Tosfos HaRosh is out of this world. Taisa Rosh is very difficult. So you got to start tomorrow for that. Rashi and the Taisa and Taisa Rosh. Oh, I got to give a shiur early tomorrow. Okay.